Lesson 10, the power of spiritual warfare. One of the most critical things you're going to be able to take and implement in your marriage is coming together in agreement regarding the spiritual warfare you need to do.
And the key to this lesson is learning how to fight together, but fight the enemy together as a team, as a husband and wife team. It's so important because many times the husband or the wife is a spiritual warrior for the family and is the one that really goes to battle. But when we can learn how to do it together as a husband and wife team, we exponentially increase our power and ability to stand against the enemy.
The Power of Spiritual Warfare, Part 1.
Hello. This session we're going to be talking about spiritual warfare, and like some of the previous sessions, we're going to start from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden. God created Adam and Eve as a powerful one-flesh team. Adam and Eve were equipped to carry out the mission that God had given to them. Most families today have one spouse or the other doing spiritual warfare, and it's a wonder that because there's only one of them doing battle, it's a wonder that they're even still standing.
But just like Tim said, we have been created as a powerful one flesh team to fight this spiritual battle. And in this lesson, the purpose of it is to teach you how to fight as a team and not fight each other. Remember again how we talked about our spouse is not the enemy. And so if you've been not fighting together, you really have been wasting valuable resources and time and energy and strength.
So if you remember the story of Adam and Eve, Satan came and deceived them, but the abilities that God placed into Adam and Eve still exist in us today. God placed in woman radar, and she can detect enemy activity.
Indeed, that really happened with us. I was at home, you know, Tim and I worked together. He had gone to the office, I stayed back for some reason, and I was praying, and I got this sick feeling in my gut. And I said, Lord, what is this? You know, what is happening? And I just felt in my spirit it was something to do with the kids. And so I called Tim at work and I said, hon, I don't know what this is, but can we pray? I really feel like we need to pray protection on our children. And so we prayed together. And later that evening, our daughter came home and she had some our sons with her. And she said, Mom, the craziest thing happened today. She said, there were this group of people. And in our small town, there's a group that periodically came every year to hold a convention. And it was kind of like in the old days, and there was drugs and stuff involved with this group. And they were at our children were at a gas station and getting gas. And this group of people, some of them were there, and they were enticing them to come with them and join their group. And she told us that, and I knew immediately that that's what it was. And we just looked at each other and, we were so grateful to the Lord that he had given us that inner knowing and that warrior ability to come together and cover our children. And that's another ability that God places in our husbands and in Adam to be the warrior. And he put in him this desire to win and to conquer. We need to use those abilities together.
A woman's spiritual discernment is like a radar. A man's desire to win is seen in a warrior.
Remember the story that in the Garden of Eden, the serpent came in to distort the radar.
Suddenly my radar gets messed up, like Tim said, and I start getting suspicious. And instead of really filtering through God's filter, I filter through my flesh. And so my radar can't alert him properly.
And that's the same tactic that in war that they used in Desert Storm. They go through and they knock the radar out first. Then the warrior, what he hears is nagging or an overload. And so he just shuts out the radar now.
A woman's spiritual discernment can be jammed by reacting in the flesh.
Now, some ways that the warrior can be distorted and perverted is what happens with men is instead of fighting in the spirit, they fight in the flesh. Where I notice this is I'm constantly warring for my sports team or in the workplace. You know, I want to be the best that I can be. That's the warrior spirit that God created in me. What I need to do as the husband, as the warrior, is pray for my wife, pray for that her spiritual discernment is in tune and that it's fine-tuned and that God would give her that wisdom. And also, I need to be praying to God that I would be listening to her. I know a lot of times Lori's hearing things and she's telling me and I'm trying to work and I'm blocking her out. I need to be able to stop and say, okay, what's going on? The other thing for the wife is that you need to call on him. When you start feeling something, you call your husband or you tell him about it. And then husbands, then that's where you jump in. You claim the power of Jesus over that situation and whatever that outcome that God wants you to have in it.
So we need to rise up as the radar and the warrior.
A warrior need to remember that he was created to win in the spirit, not in the flesh. Have you experienced times of being the radar in the warrior? Take a few minutes now and share what comes to mind. The Power of Spiritual Warfare, Part 2.
Every morning, I purpose myself that before I get out of bed, the alarm goes off, or when I wake up, I'll pray for my wife, I'll pray for my kids, I'll pray for our family, pray for the day ahead. And when I finish, I always put on my armor.
I'd like to read to you from Ephesians chapter 6. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Before I go any further, I want us to look at that. Put on the whole armor of God. And basically it's saying you will be able to stand against the wiles of the devil if you do that. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. He's telling us again, don't forget to do this, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all, I have that underlined in my Bible, the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We know these are real warrior terms, but Paul used them on purpose so that we know we're in a battle. But God told us we can be victorious. And so we don't want to ignore the battle. That's a good way to get taken out. We need to know how to be victorious. And so the helmet of salvation, one thing we need to use that helmet for is to take our thoughts captive. You know, if you're full of fear or anger or criticism, you know, there's no peace in any of that. And what do you do when you have a disagreement with your spouse? And then are all your thoughts, oh, there he goes again. Oh, she said that again. Well, he's never going to change. Look what he just said. Look what she just did. That is not wearing the helmet of salvation. As a matter of fact, the flesh in that is the helmet of pride. We need to submit our thoughts and take them captive to God. There are times, not even when we're just in maybe a disagreement, but something will be going on, and a thought will come into my head. And all of a sudden I'll think, wait a minute, that's not how I think. That's not how I feel about David, or that's not what I... And I'll just tell the enemy, you get out of here. That's not the way I think. And then I'll speak out of scripture that's in accordance with what I really believe.
The next piece of armor is called the breastplate of righteousness. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. So if you don't have your heart covered, this breastplate of righteousness, basically just the opposite. You're going to end up with things going on in your heart that aren't of God.
And the next one is the loins girded with truth. Well, our loins are our life-giving parts. And so by that very nature, God is saying to protect that, to protect the fact that you want to be life-giving to your spouse. The truth of God's word gives us life. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet
and a light to my path. Think about that. God's word, we can study God's word, know God's word, and know how to speak life and walk in life.
The next piece of armor is the feet shot with preparation of the gospel of peace. You need to be ready to take the message of the gospel, the in season and out of season for the Lord. We have journeyed several moves in our time, and we've had a couple of God moves. Two God moves where we knew God was moving us for that specific reason to spread the gospel of peace to marriage and family.
But because we were in it together and we'd sought God together, we had peace. We had our shoes shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace so that it didn't divide us when any stress came. The next one is to take up the shield of faith. Faith protects you against the enemy's fiery darts. I can even see it in the spirit sometimes happening. Somebody will say or do something, or if David says something that maybe hurts my feelings, it's like I can almost feel it coming at me. And I know it's not him, it's the enemy wanting me to accept that, wanting me to allow that to go in and sit in there and just sit there. And I've never had a fiery dart in me and I don't want one, but I am sure in the natural, if I did, the longer it sat there, the more it would hurt and the more incapacitated I would become. And so if we have struggles or we have something we're trying to work out, I say, no, I'm picking up my shield of faith. I know who I serve. David knows who he serves. And our God says this about it.
The next weapon is offensive as well as defensive, and that's the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, your Bible. So the key on this one is you need to be in the Word. You need to be reading Scripture every day. Years ago, I was not walking as a warrior. My sword was really small. As a matter of fact, he gave me a vision of what my sword was like. And he says, that's your sword. You're depending too much on your wife because she knows my word really well. You need to be in it also as husband. And really convicted me.
So David now has a sword like this, right?
And I purpose myself to start out each day in the Word.
Which answer is correct? We need to put on our spiritual armor. A. Daily. B. Weekly. C. Only when we are in battle. Or D. On special occasions.
So lastly, Paul tells us, pray always in the Spirit. So to the Spirit, not to the flesh. Romans 8:5 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Think about that. If you're going to sow to the flesh, your mind's going to be set on it. That's what you're set on. That's what you're thinking about all the time. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And so we want to sow to the Spirit. We need to keep in constant contact with our commander-in-chief so that we know exactly what's going on. And we know, like they were talking about the radar and the warrior picking up his sword. We need to be listening to God's voice. Again, I've said this a few times in the sessions. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And so we can hear God's voice so that we know exactly what to do and how to handle each situation.
Some other assets that God has given to us is the authority of Jesus. When Jesus was on this earth and before he ascended into heaven, he said, all authority has been given to me. And then he transferred that authority to us. In John 14 and verse 12 through 14, it says, I am telling you the truth. This is Jesus talking. Those who believe in me will do what I do. Yes, they will do even greater things. Jesus is saying that we will do greater things than he did because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask for in my name so that the Father's glory will be shown through the Son. If you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it.
And there's a power in the blood of Jesus. You know, we were talking about in the forgiveness lesson. You know, his blood was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus gave us power of attorney to do even greater things than he did. And I want to read Revelation 12:11. It says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. And this is exactly what we're doing here. Mm-hmm. We're sharing the word of our testimony with you. Mm-hmm. So we're giving you and sharing with you the power of the blood of Jesus.
Jesus promised that those who abide in him would do greater things than he did.
He also protects those things that we care about. And we have horses. And this is such an incredible example of the protection given to our animals. We have mares, and my mare suddenly developed a cyst in her female area. And we prayed over her, and we were watching her, and the cyst kept getting larger and larger and larger. And we called in the vet, and the vet gave us some remedies to help with her. And it was getting really, really bad. And it was starting to get so big that it was tearing the skin, and she was bleeding. And so Tim and I went to Deuteronomy 28, and we started praying those scriptures out, the promises of God to, you know, to protect our barns, to protect our livestock. And there's quite a bit more. You can go through that yourself. And so that night we just went, we actually were doing spiritual warfare over our animal. And the very next morning when I went out to feed the horses, my mare was running around like crazy. And all of a sudden I noticed there was a lot of blood on her legs. And so I knelt down and looked up under her, and the cyst was gone. But I was kind of concerned about the blood. So I walked out into the pasture and I started looking for this. Sounds awful, but I found it. This cyst fit the palm of my hand. It was the size of an apple, and it had totally come out whole. So we called the vet, and he came out and checked her out, and she was absolutely fine. There was no residue left. It happened the next day after we prayed those scriptures.
Another tool or weapon that we have is the power of praise. And there's a lot of times that we've been discouraged, and we put on some Christian music, and it's uplifting. Or there's times when we're feeling sad or disappointed, and we'll start just singing a praise song. And there's power in that. It changes our attitude. It's a way to do spiritual warfare against discouragement trying to come in on you. And a good example of that in the Bible is Paul and Silas were beaten and thrown into prison. And while they were in prison, they started singing psalms and praising God. And the praise was so powerful that it burst the doors of the prison wide open. And so that's a powerful tool that we have in praising and worshiping our Lord.
Something even recently that we've been doing, and it's been such a blessing. So Tim's been reading scripture to me out loud. And that's a powerful weapon that he's using, you know, the Word of God.
Think about your past experiences with spiritual warfare. Were you wearing your armor and using your weapons? Share with each other insight you have now. The Power of Spiritual Warfare, Part 3.
2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 6 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity, into the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." So even though we're human, we've been given supernatural weapons to fight the enemy. I want to read Zechariah 4:6. "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord." And so it's not in our own abilities. It's what the Lord gives to us. And his plan was for us to overcome the enemy because he overcame the enemy. And I want to read John 16:33. "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart." And there's an exclamation point there. "But take heart." Take confidence in him and in his blood. "I have overcome the world." And so he's given us that power to overcome the world. Anything that's of the enemy, we have that very power in us.
The enemy always wants to steal, kill, and destroy. No weapon has overtaken you except such as is common to man. What common to man means is he uses the same tactics over and over again. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Satan's tactic is always the same: steal, kill, and destroy, divide and conquer. But they're limited in power. His tactics are always in the flesh. God created us with three parts: body, soul, and spirit. So when we become a Christian, the spirit is the part where the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us. The flesh is always our body, our carnal desires. It's always for fulfilling self. The mind, will, and emotions is our soul. And as we open the door to our flesh, it all the flesh comes into this bot, mind, will, and emotions. This is where Satan has his most, where he always tempts us is through the flesh, through this part. And the way to fight an attack from the enemy is never to fight him in the flesh. The way to fight the enemy is when you open this door to the flesh automatically closes. And so the Holy, you open this door and the Holy Spirit floods our mind, will, and emotions with the power. Remember I talked earlier about having the problem with anger. And so I was trying to fight anger by, first of all, gritting my teeth. And just saying, no, I don't want to get angry. You know, I know what that's going to happen. You know, it's going to be a big blow up. And so I was trying to fight it in the flesh. And I wasn't having success with that. So then what I tried to do is I would smoke marijuana. And sure enough, I was not angry, but I was gooed out. So I said, this isn't working either. So then I said, well, what I'll do is I'll get a cigar and I'll go out on the back porch and I'll just calm down. Well, the problem is I'm going to the flesh time and time again. We want to fight in the spirit. When we talked about praying in the spirit, that's a powerful tool. We want to stay in the spirit when we're fighting a spiritual battle. That's where we will have the victory every single time.
I remember having a dream one evening, and it was so vivid. It was definitely a God dream. And in this dream, my husband was in the office, and I saw Satan come to the back door of that office, wanting Tim. And so I started just interceding like crazy for him. And this was a time where I was mainly doing the spiritual warfare. We hadn't found that balance yet. It wasn't until we went through this course that we did. But Tim called me from work the next day and he said, you would not believe what happened. He said, two guys came to the back door of my office and offered me free marijuana. Now, when does that happen? And I was so grateful that the Lord had quickened the radar in me. So we need to be really vigilant. That is a really important word. We need to be vigilant. We need to be aware. We need to be self-controlled and alert. In 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil. So in case you had any doubts about it, it's pretty clear here. Because your adversary means enemy. The devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And that's a really just descriptive picture that Paul put there, or Peter put there, I mean, so that we can just see the depth of how much the enemy hates us.
Well, think about it. What's a lion eat? A lion eats flesh. So we need to stay in the spirit. We need to fight this battle in the spirit here.
So as a one flesh team, we need to check for where's the enemy trying to get in at today. There are two types of battle. This is a really important part. There's a defensive type of battle. That's when you're regaining territory because you're already in the middle of it. You're already there. It's already happening. The purpose of a battle is not just to survive. It's to possess. About a month and a half ago, all of a sudden, and we won't go into all the details, but we had all kinds of horrible problems happen with our swimming pool, and it was leaking, and then problems with the motor, and David's having to work with these guys, and all this, you know, and it took up time and energy it shouldn't have. And then we're in the middle of doing that, and it's not quite done, and we had a water pipe break in the house. We had no hot water, you know, we couldn't get in, we had to call the plumber. That was a mess. And then his truck broke down. And all of a sudden I'm saying, wait a minute, I think the enemy is here, you know, trying to get us distracted because we had a lot of important things going on and a lot of things that God was working on. And pretty soon we're just like trying to deal with the next mess.
Time consumers.
And so we stopped and had to do defensive battle. And we had to go to the Word of God and claim that we were victorious. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead and seated him in heavenly places and put him far above all powers and principalities and ruling spirits is the same authority and power that's in us. Because in Ephesians 2, then it says, we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. So enemy, enough of this. You're not stealing the time, the energy, the money, all this stuff anymore. It's done. And within a day, peace was there. We also have to learn to fight offensively. And I really like offensive battle because I love it. Because I'll come to David and I'll say, look, Lord, show me this could happen or that could happen or this is going on.
we're going to pray now and stop this before it ever even happens. Mm. And so we need to intercede and be with the Lord. I pray in the Spirit a lot. I'll go and I'll say, Lord, speak to me. Show me what's going on. I pray Mark 4:22 a lot. Lord, whatever it is in the dark, bring it out into the light so that we can see it. We had to take a trip to another part of the country a month back. And we knew it was going to be stressful. We knew that there was a lot of opportunity for there to be battle coming at us, and then it could create battle between us. And so we went and prayed offensively ahead of time. The Lord showed us scriptures that we were to declare and claim and pray. We came together before the Lord, and we knew that we were on God's path with that, so that the enemy couldn't divide us and he couldn't attack us from without. And we walked through that entire trip and back home victorious and full of peace. And I just love offensive battle, because God will show us if we'll talk to him ahead of time. Yeah. He will show us so that we can walk with him victoriously.
There are two types of spiritual battle, defensive and offensive.
In 1 John 4:1, it says, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And so we need to check out what's coming our way.
Enemy identification. You need to learn to identify your enemy. And just like the war that's going on today on terrorism, in the spirit realm, they're not wearing helmets. They're not wearing the same kind of uniforms. We need to be able to identify the enemy, because I can guarantee you one thing, the enemy is not your spouse. It's not your children. You know, it's not, you know, your brothers and sisters in the Lord. But let me read from Ephesians 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. The enemy's a ranked force here. Mm-hmm. And you need to know how to battle this enemy.
Powers are demonic forces that have been given jurisdiction over portions of the earth, over areas. And I just want to bring this up for a moment. We've all alluded to it a few times during the sessions. But the spirit of busyness has just absolutely come in like a flood. And in Daniel chapter 12, he says, in the last days, many will run to and fro, and knowledge will increase. The enemy is just having fun watching people run to and fro. And it steals our peace, but it also harms our marriages, because we don't have that time to really walk intimately together and with the Lord and be parents of our children and stuff. So we're just urging you, because in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, where it talks about that, I said, well, then, Lord, what do we do with that? Mm-hmm. And in verse 12, he gave us the answer. He said, the wicked are going to do what the wicked are going to do. The wicked are going to do wickedly. You gain wisdom. We need to get the wisdom of the Lord so we know how to deal with those things. The other power that's really greatly over our nation is the spirit of offense. I mean, you can't look at somebody sideways and they're offended. I mean, it's just like, I'm offended at this, I'm offended at that, I'm offended. And, you know, offense is huge. And we really have to watch that as a couple. Well, why'd you say it that way?
Absolutely.
I mean, you didn't have to use tone of voice.
It can work right here, absolutely.
And before you know it, there's this little offense and that little offense. And so we really need to guard ourselves from that offense, that spirit, and not allow it to come in.
My dad taught me a long time ago. I learned this in a duck blind one morning. He said, when you're going to take a shot at that duck, he said, and there's a whole flock of them out there, he said, aim at one. He said, if you just take a shot, you know, shotgun out there and not really aim, you're not going to get a thing. But if you aim, you'll get that one, and you might get two or three more. And so that's what we have a tendency sometimes, to shotgun our prayers out there. You know, we need to really know how to pray and how to zoom in on the areas that we're looking at. We need to use and ask the Holy Spirit to help us understand how to pray and take authority in those areas.
We are a one flesh team. So we have to do one flesh team warfare. Don't allow the enemy to divide you. Dishonoring each other diminishes your power to be victorious. Your power just increases exponentially when you stay united together. When you stay there together, it's worth the time, the effort. And it does take time and effort. And I want to share from Romans 16. I love this scripture, verse 20. As we come together in this synergistic power and we walk through these awesome principles that are here so we can war against the enemy of our souls and our marriage and family and be victorious, God says in this scripture, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.
Dear Father, we see that our spouse is not our enemy. The enemy of our marriage wants to divide us and create tensions and harm. But we thank you that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world.
We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus and ask for your love and unity to be manifest in our relationship. In Jesus' name, amen.
Go to The Power of Transformation Part 1.